I really feel like Sharon and I, we went away as we do every year, and we just pray about that new year. And we've done all the ministry plan, that's all done April, May, for the church for the next 12 months beyond December. But we do that in May to plan what worked, what didn't work, what do we want to stop doing, what do we need to start doing. And we put together, we don't just do a repeat of the previous year. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And so we really put a lot of thought, effort, energy, attention in April and May. And then round about October, November, we really begin to put a financial plan attached to the ministry plan. The ministry plan was done April, May. Have you got it? And then we start saying, well, how do we resource now what we want to do next year that we plan to do? And then that's how we create our Wave Church financial budget. And so what I do every year, and I really believe this is just a revelation from God for Wave Church. I'm not saying it's for every church, but for me, as your senior pastor, I really try and figure out what is the emphasis that God wants to highlight in a year. And so Psalm 65, verse 11, this is where the thought comes from. It says, you crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. So God crowns a year. So every year I've really tried to find out a theme, a crowning of a year. What will we crown this year with? What will we theme out this year with? And so I want you to turn with me to a scripture. Sharon and I were away, and I said, sweetie, I've prayed about so much about what I feel like is the emphasis, the crowning of the year. I said, I think I pretty well landed it, but I want to know what you feel. How do you feel? And so when I told her, she went, that's it. And as soon as I told some of our team, they went, we so love that. I believe it's a word in season. I believe it's an emphasis that God wants to bring to Wave. It's a truth that He wants us to embrace. We embrace all of God's word. Who can say amen to that? We're not just picking a favorite Bible verse here, but we are creating this idea of what God does as He crowns a year. So 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things, I'm reading it from the King James, that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. Look at this now. Even as thy soul prospers. If you read from the New King James, it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health just as your soul prospers. So here's the theme for Wave Church for 2026, as your soul prospers. And I want to unpack that theme a little bit today, because today is Vision Sunday. As your soul prospers. It's the whole verse, but to bring it down just to a few words, as your soul prospers. Can we all say it? Come on. As your soul prospers. So I want to give you a quick report on Wave Church as we get started into Vision Sunday. We got a couple of graphics. All right. So the first one here, this is a year in review of what took place in Wave Church. First of all, we're looking at, in regards to Wave City Care, we were able to be involved with people fed for Thanksgiving. Listen to this, 3,400 different people received meals, and that involved 600 volunteers. We had 410 kids mentored through Shine Girl and Manpower last year in Wave Church. That's us working in the public school system. We had 987 children fed. Listen to this. Gifts given, rather. 987 children got gifts with 4,230 gifts donated for our Christmas outreach. Can I say thank you, church? That's what we did. 556 water baptisms last year, 345 kids attended Vacation Bible School. 395 people welcome to Wave graduates were planted in God's house last year. Come on, that's worth praising God for. 3,931 people made a decision that we were able to locate, track, and follow up. Give the Lord a hand for that. Last year in Wave Church, across all of our community groups, we had 217 different community groups throughout the course of the year with 3,000 plus people participating in community groups. Our finances for last year, the total revenue that came in to Wave Church was $12,693,306. And here's the really good thing to report. We spent $11,408,432. It's good to see that we're not spending as much as we're bringing in. Praise the Lord. Every year, Wave Church has an audit done, and I think it's still Goodman Associates to do the audit, or they've changed their name again. What's their name now?
Corpus Mazars.
Them. Something Corpus Mazars.
Top 10 firm in the country.
So that's who do audits every year. Every year we've had what's called it's unmodified. They've changed all the words and I've lost track with it all. But he knows, and that's all that matters. And we've had a great audit done every year. And then on top of that, have a look at this next page. Some of the things we've accomplished with and through Legacy. And Wototo, just last year alone, we actually helped Wototo purchase a charter bus for their Wototo choir to travel all over America to bring awareness to what God is doing in Wototo. And when these choirs come, they actually were able to help them buy a bus to do that tour and keep them all safe in the bus. 5,000 children were placed in loving families last year for what we do. Amen. 78 schools partnered with thousands. 78 rather schools. Let me start that again. Partnered with thousands who were kept in schools. 1,200 students last year in Wototo graduated from school. And 7,500. Hang on, we're gonna clap on all of it. I know. So 7,500 plus mothers were equipped to start their own businesses. I love that. So in other words, we're creating some self-sustaining initiatives and programs. On top of that, with A21, with Nick and Christine Kane, we saw 504,000 minors reached with awareness, prevention, and education. That's amazing. 500,000 teenagers and minors were reached with educating them, being aware of the dangers and the threats. 8,464 frontline professionals were trained around the world to help get involved with rescuing people who are being trafficked. 343 trafficking survivors came into care. That's what you did. Last year, just online, 700 people made decisions to give their life to Christ. Those who are watching through the internet, streaming, through our YouTube and all the rest of it, 700 people have responded to Christ. Do you know, Sharon and I were just talking the other day about the difference someone's decision for Christ makes in their life and in their family. And I got to tell you, it is incredible to understand that these are not just numbers. These are people with lives and stories and families that are forever going to be affected by one person making a decision for Christ. And the story we heard yesterday, we were with Robert and Margaret, and the young man that was leading worship in a church that we preached in Scotland, his grandfather was known as the town drunk. And in where was I? Was I in Fraserburgh? Peterhead. And so you just plug me in and I'll preach. I honestly don't know where I am half the time. And but we were preaching, this young man leading worship, they were telling me yesterday his grandfather was the town drunk. At the end of a service, they said, "Do you want to give your life to Christ?" And this guy is known to be the town drunk. And he goes, "What could Christ do for a man like me?" And so they gave the invitation. He gave his life to Christ. And literally that church embraced him. They didn't go, "Ooh, the town drunk." And he was the town drunk. His reputation preceded him. And then that decision he made so turned his life around. Then he got married with his kids, and that turned the family's life around. And I'm watching a third generation of a young man leading people into worship. You don't know the effect of just one person. So when we read that many people gave their life to Christ and that many online, I just thank God for it. I wonder whether we fully appreciate the impact. Over 100,000 people are online on our online outreach in over a 12-month period. Isn't that amazing? 100,000 people are tuning into Wave over the course of 12 months, and I just thank God for the opportunity that we have. Convoy of Hope, one of my favorites. We're going to be working with Convoy of Hope again this year. And last year, we actually asked everybody to take a day's pay and give the equivalent of a day's pay to feed people around the world, but particularly our focus was in Africa. And we actually were able to give last year $200,000 to Feed the World program. Listen to this, what Convoy of Hope do. When we work with Convoy of Hope, 600,000 children, listen to me, are fed every day. Over 500,000 children throughout the world are getting food every day. A meal, not just one meal a week, every single day. Women and girls empowered, 61,000. And listen to this statistic. I love this one. Our first approach or initiation with Convoy was me looking for an organization that was involved in humanitarian care and disaster. That's how I found Convoy. That's how we got into a relationship, because I wanted to find an organization that's responding to disasters in a fast, efficient, and my idea would be they'd kind of be the first in, the last out. My idea is they would also work through local churches, and nobody does it better than Convoy of Hope. And last year, We Wave Church, through Convoy, have responded to 100 world disasters last year. Come on, give the Lord a hand. So that's a report. A little later, we're going to meet up with some key people after this service. I'm going to share a little bit more detail. But I want to just break this Bible verse down for you one more time. Let's put it back up. Praise the Lord. I'm going to look at this screen. That's better. Okay, put it back up there. Beloved, I wish above all things. Come on, guys. Quick. There it is. Beloved, I pray, or another translation says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, just as, the other translation says, even as your soul prospers. So you're going to see that theme everywhere this year. Even as your soul prospers. Let me break this verse down for you. Let me start with the word beloved. Beloved, this word beloved, when you read about that, it's an unusual introduction. And it really, what it is a relational opener between the writer John and to the recipient. And what it is, it comes from this word agape. Do you know the three types of love? There's phileo, which is brotherly love. There's eros, which is to do with sex and erotic intimacy. And then there's agape. Brotherly love, it's easy to love your brother, but agape is unconditional love. So when he's saying beloved, he's using this word agape, incorporating this word to being a family. It means you who are dearly loved or cherished. Now, I want you to personalize this verse. I want you to know, I believe God wants to speak to you today. And he wants you to know that he wishes above all things that you prosper and you're in good health. even as your soul prospers. But he starts with this word, beloved, you who are deeply cherished by God. And he says, I pray. And when you break down that word, I pray, this reads as a sincere prayer. In other words, he says, I wish in the other translation. It means well wished express as a pastoral blessing. The word can carry the sense of wish or hope. The Greek word in the New Testament, it regularly functions as a genuine prayer language. And here it clearly reads as John asking God for what he has to say to you. I pray. I'm praying. I wish. It's not just wish like, you know, some random hopeless thought, but there's a deep, genuine, beloved, I pray, I wish. And I love what he says, above all things. He says that you would prosper. And I want to talk to you about this word prosper, because I think we get a little hung up on this word prosper. I think I see on social media, people trying to attack the whole idea of God wanting his church to prosper. There is this anti-prosperity sentiment that is coming into social media, trying to damn anybody who might believe to prosper. But here is God calling you beloved, praying that you prosper. Amen. And the word prosper, I want you to hear the meaning of it in the context in which this word's written. It means to have a good way or a good road by extension, that things go well, to succeed, listen to this, to make progress, to be helped forward and to flourish. That's what prosper means. Who doesn't want to succeed? Who doesn't want things to go well for their life? Who doesn't want to make progress? Who doesn't want to be helped to be moved forward? Who doesn't want to flourish? Amen. And he goes, I wish above all things that you prosper. In anything that he could ever wish for you, this is numero uno. Above all the things that I could pray for you, above all the things that I could wish for you, of all the things I call you beloved, but above everything else, I'm praying above it all that you prosper. This idea of all things is best taken concerning all matters. Listen to this, in every respect. How many times have you heard me tell you that the idea of prosperity is not just about money? It's about all things. It's in every manner. It's in every respect. We don't just make it about money. Can you say amen? Listen to what it says. This word, all things, expands the scope of the prayer to the whole life rather than elevating a single category as a priority. Yeah, I know we do have some preachers that just prosperity preachers, and all they talk about is money. And that's almost like out of the context in which this is meant to be reflected in. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health in every aspect of your life. Yes, it does involve money, but it doesn't exclude money. And it's something that's meant to be right across your whole life. And then he says that you be in good health. It just means this, straightforward physical wellness, to be healthy, sound, well, the same Greek word that we get the word hygiene from. Amen? Amen? To be in good health. I went to a doctor's appointment this week, and I didn't know what I was doing there. And I said to her, I said, I got no idea why I'm here, but apparently after you turn 60, they like to check your carotid arteries, and they're checking to see the blood flow. And the person who did me said, you for the age you are. She goes, you're going to live a long life. I said, I'll see you in 5 years. She said, no, you'll be back next year. I said, we'll wait and see about that. Okay, now look what it says. And I'm just trying to break the meaning of these words down because I want to talk about it. Just as your soul prospers. The word soul here points to the inner life of the person, the self before God. The condition, listen to this, of the inward man. He's wishing you healthy in your body, but now he's wanting you, listen, and in your soul. Amen? Amen. You got it? But now he's talking about, and it can include the way someone thinks, desires, and loves, but it's broader than just the strict idea of your mind and your thoughts. John's writing here is talking about the psyche and how it is more of an inner dashboard, and it names the allegiance, conscience, and obedience that governs the hidden life. That's what he's saying when you think about just as your soul process. Let me give you the last one. I want to give you this last thought. Just as. I want you to, every say, even as. So let me read to you the verse one more time. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Those two key words there, even as, have a lot of meaning to them. Because what it's implying is you cannot, and I want you to hear this, you cannot prosper and be healthy if your soul is not prospering. There's a direct correlation between your prosperity, and remember, please don't make it just about money. Don't make it about hedonism. He with the most toy wins. I'm going to explain to you what it means in just a moment. But I want you to understand that here the writer is saying you are beloved and God loves you and God wishes above all things that you prosper and be in good health, but even as you cannot prosper and be in good health beyond where your soul's at. Even as. Do you got the word? You can't go beyond that. Amen? So my question to us today, how's your soul? Is it prospering? Because the level in which your soul is prospering will directly be related to how you are prospering in your life and you're in good health. Can you say amen? And so this word just as, John recognized that the recipient's inner life is doing well. And he prays the rest of his life would correspond with that same wellness. I want you to hear this. It binds the verse into one integrated idea. Listen, not a set of outcomes a person can pick and choose. Well, I want to pick being really good in my business. I want to be really good with my health. Because then why didn't you understand it affects your whole life? And why don't you say, what really matters to me is my family love me. Yeah. See what I'm saying? You can't pick and choose this. It's across your whole life. Right. Amen? Amen? I know some business people say, man, I just want to believe God that this year I'm going to turn over $100 million in my company. Fantastic. How much faith do you have for your family? There you go. Amen? This is not pick and choose. This is something even as your soul prospers. Amen? Praise God. Now, I could reverse that. Some people so fixate on family and all the rest of it, they lose sight of the fact that you got to have a job and you got to provide for them. Amen? And so I want to break it down for you. Sharon and I both have learned to live out this revelation. And I'm not saying we're perfect at it, but I'm telling you, this is something that is deep inside of us. You push me on this and you'll find out how deep a conviction this really is. I have a deep conviction for health, healing, and prosperity. There is no one that could ever change my mind that it is God's will for me to have health, healing, and prosperity. And anything that tries to come into my life that is contrary to that, I absolutely resist and reject. I have a deep conviction. That doesn't mean I can't face facts. Last year I told you I dealt with prostate cancer, and praise God, it's a good report and it's all through, and I rang the bell and the doc said, you're good. So it's not as if I can't face facts and deal with sickness, but I have this deep conviction. Matter of fact, one of the things the doctor said to me, just because of your very mindset, you're going to beat this. You, just the way you think, you haven't given into it. You haven't let that word destroy your soul. Are you hearing me? Now, I have friends who've lost the fight to cancer, so please don't think I'm setting myself up and some superior. I'm not, I promise you. All I'm trying to tell you is I have this deep conviction in my life that God wants me to prosper. Amen? And because I have a deep conviction that God wants me to prosper, I tithe. Amen? I have this idea and this awareness. I love what Josh was saying, that God is my source. And because of that, I do my very best to manage my life in every area of my life. Come on. It is not a preference. I want you to hear this. It is a conviction. I am convicted. It is the will of God for me to be healthy, prosperous in Jesus' name. Amen. I do not live with this idea of, well, I would prefer to have better health. I have a conviction. God wants me healthy. And because of that conviction, now I've not lived this in a perfect life, but I've done the very best. I said to Sharon when I was going to the gym, there was a couple of times when Sharon would be a little bit kind of mad at me, not mad in some selfish way, but she's going, you're going to the gym again? I said, sweetie, for me, it's as important as eating or breathing. It's just become a way of my life now to stay healthy. Amen? And so it's now part of my daily routine, or at least 4 days a week, and I'm still at it in the gym. And there are people still trying to tell me they'd like to train me. And I go, I don't want to look like you. I'm 62. I just want to chase my grandkids. I have a conviction. And I want to tell you how deep the conviction is. It is non-negotiable from the Word of God. It's not open for a conversation. Well, I'd rather be better off. I'd rather be more blessed. But, you know, I just, que sera, sera. I'll just do what I can. No, I have a conviction that He is wants to bless me. It is not a preference to live in the blessing of God. It is a conviction. I want you to hear it. Amen. Prosperity is to have enough to do the will of God. So when you say, could you please define prosperity? It's simple. It's to have enough to do the will of God. And the will of God for your life will be different than the will of God for someone else's life. So we must find, and by the way, if you don't know the will of God for your life, I'm going to promise you, someone else will be happy to give you theirs. You've got to find out what God's will for your life is, and then prosperity is having enough to do what He's called you to do. Amen? I'll say it again. It's not hedonism, and prosperity is something that's meant to be across your whole life. Amen? It is a good, strong, healthy relationship, if you're married, with your wife and your kids and your job and your boss and your neighbors. Things are working in and around your life. It is being a good employee or a good owner and having a positive effect in the place you work and having good relationships with people around you. That, my friends, is prosperity. That's what prosperity looks like. Amen? It wasn't Kenneth Copeland who taught this. It wasn't First. It wasn't Kenneth Hagin. It wasn't Oral Roberts. It wasn't Creflo Dollar. And all of them come under a whole lot of attack, and a lot of people love to pull them down. It was Jesus who established in His Word that He wants you to prosper. Amen. Prosperity is about being able to help others. It's having enough for yourself and for those who are in need. It is of the Abrahamic covenant that we are blessed to be a blessing. It's not just exclusively about money, but it does include it. Can you say amen? And I want to go on record. I want Wave Church to know what I'm strongly convicted about. That it is the will of God that you and I prosper and we are in good health even as our soul prospers. It takes no faith to be poor. And I know people get mad with me and send me emails when I say that. It takes no faith to be poor. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for what? Prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Look at Jacob in Genesis 30. So the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. Joshua chapter 1, this is one of my favorite verses. But the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Some of us would be good if we just meditated once a day, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when is then? When you observe the word of God, you meditate in it day and night, then you will make, watch, your way prosperous. No, you didn't hear it. When you do that, you will make your way. God doesn't say, I'll do it. He says, you'll do it. When you meditate on the word of God day and night, well, what's that? Meditating, getting your soul in alignment with the word of God, with the will of God. And if you are willing to observe it and obey its commandments, all of it, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Listen to Job 36. He says, if they listen and serve him, they will end their days in prosperity and their years in happiness. I love that. Psalm 118. Please, O Lord, do save us. Please, O Lord, do send prosperity. Come on, somebody say amen. Do you know the Bible says the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children? Now, remember that word prosperity. Some of you still hung up on it. Some of you just can't get that thought of just money out of your head. And I want you to know it's right across your whole life. Come on. And look what the Bible says. Proverbs 11. The generous man will prosper, and the one who gives to others. A generous man will be prosperous, and one who gives others plenty of water will himself be given plenty. Amen. Amen. The generous man will prosper. Amen. And I love this scripture. This scripture almost sounds contrary to everything I'm talking about, but I promise you it fits. Philippians, the writer of the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. I know how to get along with little. He's Paul. I know how to get along with little. Anybody know how to get along with little? Amen. Some people have just raised your hand so fast. I relate to that a lot more than I do prosperity. Listen to what he says. I also know how to live in prosperity. I wonder how many of you know how to live in prosperity. I know how to live in little, and I know how to live in much. And look what he says now. This is him writing about his life as being an apostle, missionary. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I love what he says here. Do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Ooh, listen, let me whisper in your ear. The evidence of God's blessing is provision. Come on, somebody. It's not enough. I mean, let me say this again. It would be enough if he just saved us. Would you say amen? It would be enough if he just forgave us of our sins. That would be enough. God, thank you. And that I'm going to make it to heaven based on not what I've done, but on what you did for me. That'd be enough. That for me, I go, God, I'm good. But he's more than enough. Amen. And God sets into principle this idea of sowing and reaping. And whatever we sow, we will reap. Look, Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Some of you need to hear that. Some of you look at other people and think they're getting away with something. God cannot be mocked. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro all the earth. He knows what's going on. He knows corruption when he sees it. He knows injustice when he sees it. And you think they're getting away with it. And it may even appear they got away with their whole life. But God won't be mocked. Whatever a man sows, it's going to come back. Amen? And he goes, a man reaps what he sows. So I'm conscious about my soul. Even as my soul prospering, I'm conscious of my words. Words have effect. I'm sowing with words. If I'm saying to my wife, you'll never change. If I'm saying to my wife, you know, it's not enough. Then I'm sowing words of death and destruction into my marriage. Come on, somebody. Actions matter. Because whatever we sow, we reap. We're saved by the grace of God. But I want to tell you, your life and forward progress as what God wants you to have, things to go well for you, God's put within us, even as your soul prospers. So if you're a person who's been grown up in a family of lack and less and negativity and, you know, words like, do you think money grows on trees? And, you know, and I grew up in a family, honestly, listen to me, where my mother used to say to me, eat everything that's on your plate. There are starving children in the world. And I got guilted into, and I'm not blaming my mother, but, you know, just like, oh, I don't want kids to starve. I'm thinking, well, what difference does it make? They're not going to be able to eat this anyway. I'm just a kid. That didn't make sense to me. But I had to learn something that used to cause me, and boy, in America, you can do this. Because in America, the food portions are so big. I just came from Europe from the last 2 weeks, and I love the European food. It's the size and the portions are so much smaller and healthier than your average American restaurant. You have no idea. Bread lasts a day or two in Australia, in England. Here, bread lasts 7 to 10 days. You say, isn't that great? We got bread. You don't know what's in that bread that makes it last that long. And the unhealthy. So now I'm always going to try to say is this. I had to stop thinking I have to eat everything. I had to learn the moment I feel like I've had enough, stop. Now, if you want, get a to-go bag. That's not me. But I know plenty of people do it. And I go, great, do it. Amen. Well, I love to bring all my leftovers to Josh. He's like a human trash compactor. Anybody who really knows me well knows that when they go out to eat with me, I will always leave food on the plate. And it's become a discipline for me to not just keep eating until I've eaten everything on the plate. The moment I feel like I've had enough, I stop. At dinner, I order a 6-ounce petite filet. I might eat, what do you think, hon? 3-4 ounces. And everyone who's with me is just waiting for me to push my plate away and they jump on my meat. All right. If you got bad habits of mismanaging your finances, you're sowing and you will reap what you sow. Amen. We all have consequence of our decisions. I want to give you this revelation today. God gives us the power of choice. He wants to prosper you. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and good, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. But that's God's wish. That's God's prayer. But I want to tell you, he still puts that choice into your hands, into my hands. And one of the first things we got to do, we're going to unpack it throughout the whole year. How do we get our soul prospering? One of the best books I've ever read in my life, hands down, one outside of the Bible that has literally helped revolutionize my life in this area is Casey Treat, Renewing the Mind. I love that book. It literally has had a greater impact on my life than any other book I've read because it challenges my soul. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. My time is gone. Look at verse 11. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult or beyond your reach. It is not in heaven. So you have to say, who will ascend to heaven and get it and proclaim it so we may obey it? Nor is it in the depths of the sea. Other translation says, nor is it in hell. That you have to ask who goes down into hell or into the sea to get it and proclaim it that we may obey it. No, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I've set before you, look at this, look. I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you into the land that you are entering. Let me just stop and just say, God's going, I'm giving you a command. It's not too hard. It's not unreasonable. It's not beyond your reach. You ever seen those, you know, cowboy movies where somebody's in a jail cell and he takes his belt off and he's trying to reach the keys and he's trying to, you know, and it's just beyond the reach. You know what I mean? It's like God's not doing that to you and I. He's not putting you in a jail cell and telling you to do something that you can't do. Are you hearing me? And then he says, listen to this. He goes, it's not in heaven. This is what we do. We have such a mucked up, is that a good word, mucked up? Such a distorted perspective. It's all God. We have this wrong theology of sovereign. That's a better way of putting it. That sounds like I know what I'm talking about now. We have this wrong understanding, theological understanding of sovereignty. Well, if God wanted to do it, he'd do it. God wanted to bless me, he'd bless me. If God wanted me to be healed, I'd be healed. And we think it's all in heaven. And God goes, not all in heaven. But then we also think, well, if it's not God doing it, then it must be the devil. So he goes, it's not in hell. Are you hear what he's saying? He's trying to make it clear. It's not here, it's not there. It's in you. The devil did it. And the Pentecostals, they're awesome. If in doubt, cast it out. I mean, we blame demons for everything, don't we? Pastor, pray for me. I'm addicted to Hershey's chocolate. Pastor, pray for me. I got a spirit of anger. No, why don't you figure out what's bothering you? Don't blame the devil. Deliverance is a cop-out for repentance. No, you didn't hear that. Deliverance can be a cop-out for repentance. Far easier to blame the devil than to look in the mirror. Are you hearing me? So God's going, it's not too high. It's not out of your reach. It's not up here. It's not in hell. He goes, no, it is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. Look at the next verse, 19. So this day, the next verse I want you to look at. This day I call heavens and the earth as witnesses against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Just in case you don't know which one to choose. God's going to give you the answer. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Just in case you think there's something spiritual about being poor and cursed, I'm going to tell you the right answer. But you still have to make the choice. You've got to get your soul prospering. And I wanted this to be an understanding deep within us. By the end of this year, I'm praying that we will be deeper in a revelation, that we would walk in a conviction. It is the will of God, even as your soul No wonder Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Amen. Deuteronomy, if you obey the Lord your God, keep his commandments that is written in the book of the law, and you shall not turn, and you should turn to the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. Amen. Did you know you can get a bitter soul? You ever seen someone with a bitter soul? Did you know you could train your soul? Did you know you can train it? David did. Psalm 42. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for yet will I praise him. David wasn't denying his down soul. He wasn't denying his feelings that were not good at the moment. He talks to them. What's up? What's the matter with you? Lift yourself. Put your hope in God. Yeah, he wasn't denying how he was feeling, but he's training his soul. My goal this year is we look a lot at this in Jesus' name. Psalm 42, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Look at this. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. You got to teach your soul how to have a good memory. Praise the Lord, on my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. So, Proverbs 16, gracious words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And I promise you, my last verse, I was thinking the musicians and singers were coming back. Come on back here, guys. Amen. My last verse, I got to finish. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Bible says that your soul, which, by the way, is your mind, your will, and your emotions, your soul is so closely intertwined with your spirit, there's only one thing that can discern and separate the two. They are so close to each other. Who's ever done this? Was that me or was that God? Who's ever done that? Was that Steve Kelly or was that the Holy Spirit? How do I know what's God, what's me? There's only one thing sharp enough to dissect, to discern, to cut through. Hebrews 4. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any Gillette razor blade, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, look, even. It's so sharp that only it can even divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of your heart. You could think you got a good heart until the word of God comes in and goes, pshoom. That's why the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked above anything. Who can know it? It's only the word of God that's sharp enough to go, yeah, that's not a good thought. I want to talk to us this year, the whole year, about, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and you be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. Do you receive the word? Yeah. Come on.